Chapter 4. Abraham, the first man to wage a righteous war. Jehovah made a remarkable promise to his friend Abraham, one that changed the course of history. I will make you a great nation. God also showed Abraham the beautiful land that this future nation would occupy. Genesis 12:2. But Satan was determined to destroy that nation even before it was formed. The devil knew that this nation would produce the foretold offspring that would end Satan's wicked rule and ultimately destroy him. Abraham and his family became Satan's target. One of those who suffered greatly was Abraham's nephew, Lot. Abraham had graciously offered Lot the first choice as to where to live in the Promised Land, and Lot had chosen the richest and most fertile area. It was near the city of Sodom, where the men were wicked, gross sinners against Jehovah. Genesis 13:8-13. The king of Sodom was part of an alliance of five Canaanite kings, and they were growing tired of paying tribute to the king of Elam. So they rebelled. In response, the Elamite ruler led his own alliance of four kings from distant regions. They came sweeping down from the north and defeated those Canaanite kings. The victors headed homeward, laden with spoils of war. Lot and his family were among their captives. What would Abraham do? He might have reasoned that Lot had brought trouble on himself by his own choices. Or he might have worried that if he went to rescue Lot, he would have to wage war against those kings, at least one of whom ruled in Shinar. Abraham was a nomad, more a shepherd than a warrior. How could he defeat the combined armies of four mighty kings? What is more, Abraham himself had come from Shinar. Another man might have worried that such a war would forever rule out any hope that he might one day return to the comforts of Ur. But Abraham did not think that way. He knew what Jehovah wanted him to do. By this time, Abraham's prosperous household may have numbered over 1,000 members. He gathered his trained men, 318 male servants, and mobilized them for war. Along with some allies, they set off in pursuit. Far to the north, in the region of Dan, they came upon the enemy forces. Abraham divided his men into groups and then attacked by night. Though vastly outnumbered, they outfought the marauders and put them to flight. As the four kings and their men fled farther to the north, Abraham kept up the pursuit. Near Damascus, he finally defeated them completely and took back all the spoils they had seized from Canaan. Lot and his family were freed at last.
The blurb reads, Abraham led his band of 318 men to pursue and fight the combined armies of four mighty kings. The picture shows Abraham and his men riding on camels and charging across a moonlit landscape.
How did Jehovah respond to the courage and faith that Abraham showed? The answer became clear when Abraham passed near the city of Salem. The king of that city, Melchizedek, was also a priest of Jehovah. That king priest came out of the city to meet Abraham and to bestow Jehovah's blessing on him. Abraham humbly gave Melchizedek a tenth of the best spoils. Without question, then, that war had been not a man's war, but God's. The Bible mentions the book of the wars of Jehovah, Numbers 21:14. Abraham's battle may well have been the first entry in that book. Centuries later, when Abraham's descendants warred against the wicked Canaanites who occupied the Promised Land, Jehovah gave his faithful people victory after victory. However, when God's people abandoned him, they lost his protection. Finally, Jehovah cast them off when they rejected his son, the Messiah. In place of that physical nation, Jehovah began to bless a spiritual nation under Christ's rule. Jesus forbade his subjects to wage physical warfare. Instead, he taught them how to wage spiritual warfare. He led the way, showing that such warfare requires just as much courage. Read the Bible account. Genesis 14, 1-24, and Hebrews 7, 1-4. For discussion, in what ways did Abraham show courage during this part of his life?
Dig deeper. Point 1. What archaeological evidence supports the accuracy of this account? See The Watchtower, July 1, 1989, page 5, paragraph 4, to page 6, paragraph 1. Point 2. What geographical evidence supports the Bible's description of Sodom and Gomorrah? See Insight on the Scriptures, Salt Sea, paragraph 6. The picture shows a field of date palm trees and other vegetation. The picture caption reads, "Even today, date palms and other vegetation are abundant in the region where ancient Sodom was probably located." Point 3. Melchizedek was king and priest of Salem. Where was Salem? See Insight on the Scriptures, Salem. Point 4. How was Melchizedek a prophetic type of Jesus? See Insight on the Scriptures, High Priest, paragraphs 27 and 28. The picture shows Abraham and his men giving Melchizedek spoils from the war. Reflect on the lessons. Abraham allowed Lot to take the best of the land. How can we imitate Abraham in our dealings with our family, our fellow believers, and others? The picture shows a young brother at a circuit assembly offering his seats to an older couple. What do we learn from Abraham's willingness to rescue his nephew? In what other ways might you imitate the courage shown by Abraham in this account? Meditate on the bigger picture. What does this account teach me about Jehovah? How does this account tie in with Jehovah's purposes? What would I like to ask Abraham or Lot in the resurrection? Learn more. Consider how Abraham came to trust Jehovah fully.
I have seen in my life that everything that Jehovah promises always comes true. Throughout your life, have full confidence Jehovah will always do what is right.
Watch the video, Imitate Their Faith, Abraham, Part 1. How did Abraham display courage even before he left Ur? Read Abraham, a Man of Courage in The Watchtower, January 1, 2012, pages 6 and 7. End of chapter 4.